Amy, come on up. We have a special guest today, and she is such a blessing to us. And Amy is going to share with you her vision for Thailand. And God is using her really as a mother to many young ladies that are being trafficked. And she's there standing in the gap. And I appreciate you coming today. Are you ready to roll? I think you are. She's about ready to explode, right?
Thank you, Pastor Keith. Thank you, New Horizons. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I'm at home. I love this place. I'm honored to be here with you guys today and to just be a part of what God is doing in this church. I have my spiritual parents here today. I'm so excited. My spiritual mom and my spiritual dad. So Carol and Doug are here in the front. These are the McGraws. Everybody want to wave to my mom and wish her a happy Mother's Day? And my dad, I won't be here for Father's Day, so happy Father's Day too, Dad. Pastor Keith, and is your wife here too? Hey, Susie. Oh, yeah. Oh, there she is. Oh, 잘 지내요? 잘 지내. Oh, 예수 사랑해요, right? Yes, very much. Jesus loves us. Amen. So I am very excited and honored to be a part of what you guys are doing here. And Pastor Keith and I talked about this opportunity about a couple weeks ago, and I had a different plan. I was supposed to be in Chicago right now, actually outside of Ohio, actually Chicago, then Ohio, and then traveling. I'm doing a U.S. tour. Radical Love Asia is an organization. I'll tell you just a little bit about it, but the goal by the end of this time, and we're going to, like Pastor said, keep it short, which is good, but it's going to be powerful, is that you leave here in complete freedom. Yes. Amen? Yes. Anything that has been holding us back or keeping us back from the destiny that God has ordained for us, that is the message of radical love. Amen? It was His radical love first that transformed us, and then because of that love flowing through us, it's a kingdom of God inside of us that needs out. Amen. He's rivers of living water, right? He's not a lake. He needs out. And so in this time, I just want to give you an opportunity to encounter Jesus radically. I do have a couple of house cleaning things. I don't know if they call it house cleaning, but that just came to my mind. So I need just a couple of volunteers that are just like to pass things out. Okay. There's one, and then maybe one on one side, one on the other. If you would like more information after today, just pass them to people down the aisles there. If you'd like more information after today, just because our time isn't a normal, I usually share for about an hour and kind of answer questions at the end. But I love Pastor Keith. We had a 10-minute talking time the last time I was here, and I was just coming off the field, and it's always challenging when we call this re-entry. I actually have a little bit more of a challenging time coming to America than I have when I go back to Thailand. And I was kind of in re-entry, and Pastor Keith had me speak, and it was so beautiful because the Holy Spirit just leads this church. Amen. And he had me share, and I kept looking at him, and I saw the Spirit flowing, and then he kept looking at me. And then that led to an evening on a Wednesday. So that actually was not recorded, I think. We didn't end up recording that, I don't think. But that's okay. This one will be. So if I speak too fast, or we call them sound bites. I don't know if you do this with Pastor Keith. I do. Like he says something, you're like, you want to rewind it and catch it again because it was so deep in the Spirit. So I find that happens, and so I'm excited that this is being recorded. We'll also put part of this on our website. So for our audience that's watching, hello. Radical Love also has its own webpage. We're a grassroots organization, but amen, grassroots is just like Jesus, right? And then he took 12 people to flip the world upside down. Amen? So I'm excited. So let me pray to begin us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Whew. Lord, we know there is nobody like you. And Father, we were reminded today that you don't have grandchildren. You only have sons and daughters. And Jesus, in this moment, because of your work on the cross, we can know that we're sons of God. We're daughters of God. By the work of the Spirit, those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So in this moment, we just say thank you. We thank you for what you're about to do, what you're about to share, what you've already shared today, how you've already spoken to our hearts and reminded us that we are a part of something much bigger. We're a part of a kingdom family. And so, Lord, I thank you for this kingdom family here in Shelton, Washington. I thank you for each and every person that even hears this across the nations because of this amazing thing called the internet. Father God, I thank you that we get to partake in the encounter and the suffering of Jesus. But Lord, because of what you endured on the cross, we don't have to die again. We get to be resurrected with you. Lord, thank you for baptism. Thank you for the fact that we get to die with Christ and we get to rise with Christ. And Lord, we get to live fully as you live. You said you who knew no sin became sin so we would become the righteousness of God. You became what we were so we could become who you are. Amen. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We thank you for an opportunity just to share what you're doing here. Lord, what you're doing in Asia. And Lord, what you ultimately want to do throughout all corners of the world. Jesus, you are our King. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. You are the one who bears witness to the scripture. You are the one who bears witness to what Jesus said. So as we hear these things, what's been of you, what Amy is about to say, what I'm about to share that's of you, Lord, let us keep it and hold on to it. What's not of you, we give you permission to cut it out. Lord, we see in part and hear in part. So as we're speaking, as we're sharing, as we're learning, let the very presence of the Holy Spirit bear witness to what's being said today. So, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we can embark on this opportunity to encounter you in this moment. And let us leave from this place, just as we said, free. Free people, free people. Let us become free in this place. So when we leave this church today, Father God, that we leave free. And then we begin to mark people on the streets and talk about their freedom. So they would know that they've been set free by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Anything that they're in bondage to, Father God, we actually have been given all authority. Because you gave it to us to set people free. We love you, Jesus. We ask for that boldness. You said that the violent, the kingdom of God comes with violence. And the violent take it by force. That force, Father God, is a very revelation that you've actually taken care of everything. Father, there's spirits that are not of God that are even in this room. They all must go in Jesus' name. I command fear right now in the name of Jesus. You must leave right now. Shame and guilt and condemnation, unbelief, you leave now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we bless this place with love. We loose peace in this place. We loose joy and healing. Amen. And the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the full gospel of Jesus, that you would heal the sick and cleanse lepers and cast out demons and raise the dead. And we would get to partake freely. We've been given and freely we give. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We worship you. And if this prayer was just for me, amen. Because this is who we want to be. We want to walk from this place in the fullness of the revelation of the gospel and be completely submitted to your spirit that, Father, what you say, we would say, and what you do, we would do. We love you. We worship you. We praise you. We bless you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Amen. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's all we needed. Woo! That's our Father. Amen. I have this scripture like burning on my heart. And it's kind of harsh. But it's only harsh because he's trying to accomplish something. It's actually in Luke 19. I didn't know I was going to share it, but it keeps bringing it to mind. So amen. How many of you know when the Holy Spirit speaks, it's a good idea to follow, to do what he says? This is starting in verse 11. Ooh, 11. I love 11. 11th hour, amen. Apollo 11, right? 11 disciples after Judas left. Okay, we're going to start in a chapter. We're going to start here. This is we're talking about, this is in the end of Luke, right? We know that Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He knows it's going to happen. And he begins to impart a message to his disciples that it definitely begins kind of a deep revelation of us. And I believe we're in the 11th hour. Amen. We hear this a lot. But I also understand that that's when Jesus also accomplishes so much. So as I read this, I'm not going to read all of it. I'll let you follow up. But the part that I want to get to, he wants to share with us. He's going to talk about the kingdom with us today. We're talking about the kingdom of God. At this time, Jesus was getting close to entering Jerusalem. The crowds that followed him were convinced that God's kingdom realm would fully manifest when Jesus established it in Jerusalem. So he told them this story to change their perspective. Amen. Jesus wants us to get good perspective. Once there was a wealthy prince who left his province to travel to a distant land where he would be a crowned king and then return. Interesting. Before he departed, he summoned his 10 servants together and said, I am entrusting each of you with 50,000 to trade while I am away. Invest it and put away the money to work until I return. Some of his countrymen despised the prince and sent a delegation after him to declare before the royals, we refuse to let this man rule over us. He will not be our king. Nevertheless, he was crowned king and returned to his land. Then he summoned his 10 servants to see how much each one had earned and what their profits came to. The first one came forward. And said, Master, I took what you gave me and invested it, and it multiplied 10 times. Splendid. You have done well, my excellent servant. Because you have shown that you can be trusted with this small matter, I now grant you authority to rule over 10 fortress cities. The second one came and said, Master, what you left with me has multiplied 5 times. His master said, I also grant you authority in my kingdom over 5 fortress cities. Another came before the king and said, Master, here is the money you entrusted me. I hid it for safekeeping. You see, I live in fear of you. For everyone knows you are a strict master and impossible to please. You push us for a high return on all that you own, and you always want to gain from someone else's efforts. It's an interesting understanding of God. The king said this, you wicked servant, I will judge you using your own words. If what you said about me is true, that I am a harsh man pushing you for a high return and wanting gain from others' efforts, why didn't you at least put my money in the bank to earn some interest on what I entrusted to you? The king said to his other servants, take the money he has and give it to the faithful servant who multiplied my money 10 times over. But master, the other servants objected, why give it to him? He already has so much. Yes, replied the king. But to all who have been faithful, even more will be given them. And for the ones who have nothing, Even the little that they seem to have will be taken from them. Whew. We could spend a lot of time understanding this whole scripture. The Lord, when he began to reveal this, I keep hearing him say, now I grant you authority to rule over 10 fortress cities. The Lord uses gifts and talents and our abilities to also bring revelation for other people. Amen. There's a Holy Spirit in us. When we come to the Lord, there's the Holy Spirit who comes in us. He comes to reveal sin to us. He becomes to reveal these things. But there's also the Holy Spirit upon us. And the Holy Spirit is upon us as a gift for other people. Amen. I know that in 1 Corinthians 12, he mentions 9 gifts. It's arguable that there's more than just 9, but he mentions those 9 to the Corinthians because the Corinthians had been operating in those gifts and they needed to know they were from the Holy Spirit. They were words of knowledge. They were tongues, interpretation of tongues, faith, miracles, prophecy, words of knowledge, healing, right? And discernment of spirits, right? So there's these gifts in there that it's amazing when you have them, but they're not for us. Like, they're great, and we get to receive some of the glory when it comes out, right? But that glory also gets on other people when we operate in them. So it's interesting, because when he talks about ruling over these 10 cities, he's talking about an authority that we have that we use, right? All of us have been given this authority. Amen? Jesus said, I have been given all authority. If Jesus has all authority, how much does the enemy have? None. Right? And then he said, I give it to you. And he said, go and make disciples of all nations, right? Not just in all nations, but of all nations. So he's talking about this bigger picture of this kingdom realm, of that we would actually operate in these gifts of the Spirit, but also operate in the kingdom realm, that we would begin to impart this everywhere we go, not just one-on-one, but it actually would come out of us. The very kingdom of God within us would come out. So I share this because I really believe that I got a hold of this through the revelation of the Scripture. And I was like, why doesn't my life look like this? For many, many years, I read the Word, I knew the Lord, but I wasn't seeing this manifest. I wanted the last chapter of Acts to be then written about me, right? And I wasn't seeing it. And so then I watched a minister of the gospel. It was a YouTube video. I was in Thailand. And I began to see his life kind of unfold. And he was telling these stories. And you can tell it wasn't just a story. Like, you could literally tangibly feel the presence of God when he would share. It was, and I understand now that's an anointing. That's an anointing from the Lord. And where the anointing is, you're going to see a fervency. You're going to see heightened awareness. You're going to see heightened healing, because there's an authority that person's walking in that says, hey, but amen, it's not the person, right? We're just a vessel, right? It is Jesus Christ operating through us. Amen. And so when we believe this, and I knew this was true, but this man believed this book. And I met him later. I got to actually do some training with him. And I met, and I'm like, and I, to be honest, he's just normal. He's just a normal person. I mean, he carries an authority. He's had an amazing life. He's come from a very dark place. So he understands kind of the darkest of dark. And he's like, I don't want to go back there again, because he knows that doesn't fulfill. And he's come on the other side. And I share this with you because once I got a hold of this, actually through this video, it was 2 hours and 10 minutes and 46 seconds. So mine will be much shorter. So you can watch if the Lord empowers you to watch this again or anything on YouTube. There'll be an anointing that flows through it, right? It can even come through a screen. And what happens is I got on my knees after I saw this man preach, and I literally just repented, because what I had realized through watching this, he was saying this: if I'm free from me needing you to love and accept me, then I'm actually free from you. And I can love you unconditionally, and I actually don't need you to love me back. Oh my gosh. So here's another, I'll say it one more time. If I'm free from me, then I'm free from you. So free people actually can then free people. Right? And when I said this, when I got the revelation of this, I was like, oh my gosh, that is the fear of man that had been on my life for so long. And I never had it described that way. And I literally, because why can I be free? Why do I not need you to love and accept me, even though I love you anyway? Even if you hated me? Because I'm already loved and accepted in the Beloved. Yes. And I know him as Father now. I know him as Lord now. I know him as Savior now. I know him as Bridegroom now. I know him as Brother now. I know him in an intimate place, because this is not where I get my fulfillment. This is an honor and such a gift to me. But anyone who knows me, if you've ever heard me share before, I will be like Matthew 6:6, like in my secret place, on my knees, like just crying out, and just him. And oftentimes it's in a car traveling across America, or out in the, you know, walking the streets of Thailand, like, This is just a gift. It's a gift, because God wants to pour out onto you what he's poured onto me. Amen. And in each of us. And there's many of you that are walking in this anointing, but I believe you're going to leave from this place even walking in more of this authority. Amen. The scripture is also in 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter 2:16. And it says, live as people that are free, and not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil. I think it's 2 Peter 2:16, yeah. Live as people that are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Okay, I'm free from me. This is actually also in 2 Corinthians 5:13. It talks about the scripture. He says, if we're out of our minds, it's for Christ. And I'm not out of my mind, but I'm out of yours, right? But if we're in our right minds, it's for people. So, but it says, the scripture is so powerful, because if I'm free, my freedom, I don't have my freedom can't hurt you. Right? There's another minister of the gospel I love listening to. He's actually out of Mexico. They've probably seen about 50 people raised from the dead. And he just lives this freedom life. And he says it. He goes, I have to be very careful when I preach and when I share, because I am so free. And some of us aren't as free as he is. His freedom, he has to be really careful, because a spirit will get offended. Amen. That's what we want. We don't want the person to be offended. Right? It's actually in Proverbs, I believe it's 18:19, it says, an offended brother is actually harder to reach than 10 cities. Yeah. So we don't want to offend our brother, but if there's a spirit behind that person, that's what we don't want them living in under that spirit. And I'll give you an example, and then I'll come back to the scripture. Luke chapter 13, you guys remember this? Jesus was preaching in the synagogue. It was the Sabbath. We know this is his famous way when he likes to share. And he likes to do things on the Sabbath, because those religious spirits get kind of annoyed at this time, right? So this woman walks in. She'd been bent over for 19 years. You guys remember this? Excuse me, 18 years. And Jesus says to her, today you will be healed from your affliction. And immediately he lays hands on this woman and she stands up. And everyone rejoices that this woman has been healed, except the synagogue leader. And he says this. It says that they were indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. So they turned to the people. It's written in scripture this way. Turn to the people. They didn't even turn to Jesus. How crazy is this? And the only one that we hear of is this woman. You people have 6 days in order to come to the temple to be healed. Do not come on the Sabbath. And Jesus knows that he just offended that woman. That woman that got healed, that deserved to be healed. And back then, we know this, in that time when Jesus came, that was probably one of the darkest times in history. Women were treated as property back then. They weren't even regarded as having value. And here's what he says. You hypocrite. Which is a masked person, right? A person wearing a mask. You hypocrite. You would lead your oxen or your donkey to water on the Sabbath. This woman, and he goes all the way back, a daughter of Abraham. It's not even a Jew, but all the way back to the very beginning of their foundation of their faith. This woman, a daughter of Abraham, she has been afflicted by Satan for 18 years. Ought not she be freed from her affliction? And then it says this. All the temple, all the Pharisees, just the Pharisees, though. How cool is Jesus? How amazing is it that he sees us? All the Pharisees, it said, were put to shame. Right. And then it says everyone else left rejoicing in the name of the Lord, that they were worthy to encounter the love of God in that place. And it's so amazing. I had to decipher that. I had to like pick apart the scripture, because I was like, Jesus would offend people, like, right? Like he would be offensive. And then I read in Titus. In Titus chapter 2, it says, let your speech be so full of integrity that your opponent is put to shame. And then in another version, it says, let your opponent come to your side. So Jesus was not offending the person, right? What he was offending is the spirit that was behind the person. Amen. Those Pharisees didn't know. They were living out a doctrine that they had seen live generation after generation after generation. And they didn't know, but they knew when that offense came up. Now, they had a choice. That's what I would call a trigger. Amen. I don't know how y'all are, but I get triggered. I still have some things that happened when I was in my childhood, things that will come up. But now I recognize them. When shame comes up, when fear comes up, when anger comes up, when unforgiveness comes up, bitterness, those things come up. It doesn't matter what Pastor Keith did to me, and I'm only picking on him because he would never do this. But it doesn't matter what he said to me, how he's spoken to me, how he's addressed me. He can't make me feel any way. The sin in him cannot produce sin in me, right? Amen. So I've got to take care of this place of me that's in me. And that trigger needs to be my best friend, right? If I get shame, I'm actually going to step away and go keep my mouth quiet, which is sometimes in the past, I wasn't good at that. I've gotten better. But I'll step away and I go, what is that? What is that thing? Even if he's addressing me in a, you know, kind of a, you know, again, I don't ever see Pastor Keith doing this, but in a derogatory sense or whatever, it doesn't matter what remember what I talked about being free? I'm free from him, right? I'm free from him. I'm free from him. I don't need him to love and accept me because I'm already loved and accepted, right? And so what God has taught me to do, and this is what we do through generational ministry in Thailand, is we actually empower children to honor their parents love their parents. They don't always agree with them. And amen, agreement and honor are not the same. Right? The goal of communication is not agreement, but it is understanding. When kids are young, it's really hard to discern. We empower children to honor their parents. We empower children to educate them in their identity. Because if they know whose they are, then they know who they are. Right? If they know who they are, then they know what they have. So we talk about authority. So we equip them in their authority. And their authority is that they can cleanse the lepers, that they can cast out demons, that they can raise the dead, that they can heal the sick. And then when they know what they have, then they know what they can do. That's their destiny. And that's being equipped into the seven mountains of culture. We really speak a lot about media and government and business and even like the technology realm, arts and entertainment, music, the church, family. So those realms of culture that are out there, we don't just want every kid to be a minister, like to be a pastor. That would be great. If they're called into that, amen. I love that. We need many more pastors in Thailand. We're still less than 1% Christian in Thailand. But what we want to do is we want children to transform their families. So a child that walks into a family that's been empowered, so we start schools, we run children's programs, we do governmental work now, where we're working with the government to start a whole education program through curriculum. It's amazing. But those children that are transformed then would transform their families. Then those transformed families would transform their community or their city. Amen. Can you imagine a whole community of children that are praying for the sick and seeing it happen and their parents are encountering the same thing? How many know the newspaper is going to be talking about that family? Right? People are going to be coming to them, right? And then that transformed family, that transformed city transforms the nation. And the country that I live in, can you imagine if all of Shelton was walking in the power of God? Could you imagine? I can. Amen. I have seen it. I've actually seen it in little pockets. And I haven't been able to do evangelism. I would love to stay maybe a week one time and then let's go on outreach. I love doing outreach. I'll have to be the next trip because it's already planned. I leave tomorrow for Nashville. But there's this power that comes when you're, and you guys don't need me. Amen. You don't need me. You can do this. But I love to go with people that are hungry, right? Who's hungry? Raise your hand. Who wants to see the kingdom come? Amen. Let's do this. Well, okay. We're already planning ahead, Pastor Keith. You got it? But you guys get some practice before I come back, okay? So then you're like, Amy, we're already walking it. You better follow us. I'm like, okay. Right? So I just want to tell you a couple stories and then I'll wrap up. Okay, so I want to tell you something local and then something in Thailand. So I just came from Seattle. Not very far. It's around the corner. And a friend of mine, I've known them for years. They're partners with our ministry. So there is an opportunity to partner with us financially as well in prayer partnership. That's what those cards are for if you want information. And in the back, there's a folder like this. It's either yellow or green or blue. And you can get information from us. Please take one. If you're thinking about it, you're not sure, but you want to know more information, grab one. So I was over at this partner's house yesterday. And a woman came that was taking care of their home. And we just got to talking. She knew the Lord. And she starts mentioning these things to me. And I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, this is a divine appointment. You always do this. And that's my last name, right? Divine. So I'm like, okay. But it always is if the Lord's at play. And I go upstairs and I'm like, I had so much to do to prepare for today and just planning and the trip. And I was like, but nope, this person is most important, this woman that was in this house. So I come back downstairs, and then she really starts to tell me what's on her heart. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, all right, I don't know what to do right now. She's working. Meanwhile, she's working, too, so I'm aware that she has a schedule. So I go back upstairs, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, I don't know how you want to do this. I don't have a lot of time. I don't know what you're going to do. The family's going to come home soon. I need your peace to lead me. And he said, go take a shower. I said, okay. right? Amen. Just listen to the Spirit. Take a shower, get ready, get all packed up. I come back downstairs, and I said to her, I said, do you remember a few minutes ago you were concerned about other people coming to you with their problems, but they're just not changing? She's like, yeah. And you said that you were getting hard-hearted because they would always come to you. I said, is it possible that you're a safe place for people? And she's like, yeah, actually it is. And I said, is it possible that those people actually want change and that's why they're coming to you? And she said, yeah, actually it is. And this is all the Holy Spirit, because I was trying to understand what was going on. But I said, is it possible in order for them to be free, you need to be free? And she said, yeah. So when you said you're hard-hearted, what did you mean by that? And she was like, she says, I don't want that anymore. I don't want that offendedness. And I said, then let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of that in Jesus' name. So she renounced hard-heartedness. She renounced bitterness. She renounced just condemnation, shame. We didn't do it last night, but I have done this before. I did this on a flight on the way over here. It was a woman who was in my seat partner. She was so afraid. She couldn't stand up in the airplane. She couldn't use the bathroom. She couldn't do anything. I was like, is it possible you might have some fear maybe in the past? She goes, yes. I was like, can we get rid of that? And we had already been talking about Jesus. And she's like, yeah. And her husband's sitting with her on the other side. She's holding her daughter. And so I got to have this conversation with her. I said, let's get rid of that. But let's talk about childhood trauma. Let's just renounce childhood trauma. We didn't have to bring it up. I didn't have to find out what it was. That's another kind of ministry, and that's fine. But in this particular case, the Lord just wanted to renounce childhood trauma. Renounce childhood trauma. The woman yesterday renounced, like I mentioned to you already, the hard-heartedness. And so you have to renouncing for anyone that's not sure, renouncing is breaking agreement with the power of something. So you're breaking in with that power that's had over your life. A lot of us will say, I get strep throat every year. I used to get strep throat every year, but then I would get strep throat every year. And then I just stop saying I get it every year, and I say I used to get it, and then I stop getting it. Power of life or death is in our tongue, right? So just speaking life over us. I'm not lying. I used to get it, and then I didn't get it anymore. It was so awesome. But we need to speak life over ourselves. So that's what she did. She broke the power of agreement with these things, and then repented for agreeing with it. So that's also a discerning part. And if there's any unforgiveness, they need to deal with that. I have a family member who is dealing with a disorder, a bipolar disorder, and that often is a result of not being properly nurtured by your father growing up. It's one of the spiritual roots. And when he read this, and he already knew this, it went, because he was already hungry for the Lord. He's like, oh my gosh. I go, do you want to renounce that? And he said, yes. And he got set free too. This is like 2 weeks ago. So I'm sharing this with you because God is into setting his people free. Right? Amen. So let's stand up. Everybody just stand up. We're going to make this very simple. If you feel that there's something you want to renounce in the name of Jesus, we're just going to do that. And then after you renounce it, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to come into agreement with it. I'm going to come into agreement that thing that you've renounced, we're going to separate you from it. And then because we've separated you from that thing, then we can cast it out, right? It doesn't have any permission to stay anymore because you are now in a new bloodline. How many people have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Raise your hand. How many of you are like really want to today? Okay, right, amen. Some of you are like, I'm ready now. The Jesus as Lord and Savior has put us into a new bloodline. Amen. There's no curse that gets through the bloodline of Jesus. Right? I used to have rheumatoid arthritis. Did you guys believe that? Do I look like I used to have rheumatoid arthritis? I walk like Tim Conway from the Carol Burnett Show, if anyone remembers that show. Early onset, the doctors didn't know what to do. They said, we don't know what's going on. We don't even know what this is. I had to get specially tested because I was so young. I was 31. They said it'll come back. I canceled that assignment right there too. Right? It's not come back. I had HPV, which is a virus that doesn't have a cure. And I was healed. Amen. And the doctor said it'll come back in a year, and I haven't had it. Okay. I'm telling you that because there's things that I've actually overcome, but there's things I think in your life that you want to overcome. Amen. And I want to come into agreement with those things. So let's just do this. Just however the Lord leads you, just come into, I want to renounce and just say it. I'll lead us through it. Okay. I'll start us out in some prayer and then let you guys renounce too. Father God, we thank you that in this place right here, right now, every single person has come here by your design in Jesus' name. Every person that's in the sound of my voice right now, online or in this room, Jesus, is here because you've drawn them. It says when you draw people to the Father, when you draw people to Jesus, when you draw them, then the Father can do his work inside of them. And so, Father God, the first step was coming, and they've come. The first step was listening, and they're listening. So Jesus, right now, we begin to lift up the things that we don't want anymore. If it's trauma, if it's shame, if it's fear, if it's guilt, if it's abuse, in Jesus' name, we renounce the power of that over our lives. So if you're in agreement with me, just say this. I renounce in the name of Jesus, and then say what it is. I renounce shame. I renounce fear. I renounce guilt. I renounce condemnation. I renounce lust. I renounce pornography. I renounce hating my parents. I renounce words that are spoken over me that are words that don't honor you, in Jesus' name. I come into agreement with the truth of the gospel, and I forgive. Let's say this together. I forgive, and then just say their name or their position in your life. And then, and what do you forgive them for? Maybe you were abandoned as a child. Maybe you had deep pain as a child. I forgive them for not hearing my dreams and my emotions. I forgive them for not listening to me. I forgive them for not knowing how to parent me the way I needed to be parented. Because your feelings are important. But you also need to like come into that place and say, God, you take that place. You take that place right now. So I forgive my parents for not knowing how to parent me. I forgive my mom for not listening to my stories and my dreams. I forgive my mom for her addiction. I forgive my dad for leaving. I forgive my dad for abandoning my mom. I forgive him because he didn't know what he was doing. Jesus, you stood on that cross and people were spitting at you. And they said, if you're the Son of God, get down. And you didn't look at the Father and say, you know what? They hate you and they hate me. I'm out of here. You said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And you cannot forgive us unless we forgive. Not because you don't want to, because we are holding on to something that we have an authority to keep. None of us want to keep that anymore. Amen? So, Father God, right now, I come into agreement with everything that's been renounced in this room, and I separate them right now from this thing that's been renounced. And we come into agreement that that thing must leave in three. One, two, three. Every unclean spirit, go now. Freedom in this room. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom in this room. Freedom. We declare now. Freedom right now in this place. Freedom. Freedom. Love of God. Freedom come. Freedom right now. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom. 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 Complete freedom. Complete restoration. Completely made whole. New blood in Jesus' name. New systems in Jesus' name. I command new respiratory systems, new circulatory systems, new central nervous systems in Jesus' name. New brain functioning in Jesus' name. New endocrine systems in Jesus' name. I declare new cellular structure where there have been cancer cells. Those cancer cells, we cancel the assignment of them right now. And they would be normal cells in the name of Jesus. Right now. We say past, you're in the past. And our word says that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will ever separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus, we declare it. And right now, I bring to every single one of you that's renounced right now this very anointing of Christ. You have this very anointing. You get to leave from this place with the very anointing of Jesus Christ. You have the same Holy Spirit I do. You leave from this place with joy, with love, with peace, with grace, with goodness, with mercy. You get to leave from this place and you have the same anointing. And I pray that the nations would be transformed right now, starting at this place from Shelton, Washington, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Let's give him glory. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just say his name. Just give him thanks. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, you're King. Jesus, you're the one who gave us freedom. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that nothing changes until we give it over to you. Lord, we give you all the power and the authority to transform us and transform the world around us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I feel this really powerful anointing. I want to anoint marriages right now. I just want to bless marriages right now. Covenants in the room. If your covenant partner's in the room, would you grab their hand? I just think he said I can let the Holy Spirit flow, so I'm going to do this. If your covenant mate is in the room, would you grab their hand? And if they're not in this room and they should be, you grab them in the spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Grab hold of them right now in the name of Jesus, because you made a covenant before God. And if that person's not holding up their end, he will hold up their end. Amen. Amen. Father God, I bless marriages right now in the name of Jesus. I bless every covenant. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. You came that they would have life and life in abundance. I bless this marriage. I bless these marriages, Father God, that what God has brought together, that no man, no circumstance, no situation, no health problem, nothing would ever separate, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel that transforms lives right now, in Jesus' name. And we stand in agreement for this spouse, for the spouses that aren't in the room, Father God. We call them back right now in Jesus' name. We call it, we fight for their destiny. In fact, we're standing on ground for their testimony. Their testimonies are going to come into the fullness of Jesus Christ, and they're going to begin to declare, and they're going to begin to speak over marriages and speak over lives, that the covenant marriage that Jesus Christ brought together, that very covenant cannot be damaged, cannot be taken out of God's hands. You're in the Lord's hands. You're one flesh, but you're two spirits. Amen. You're one flesh, but two spirits. You have to answer for what you've done. Amen. And I pray more. I pray more encounter. I pray more encounter right now in Jesus' name. I pray more right now in Jesus' name. More, Lord. Thank you, Father, for these covenant marriages in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can I bless you too, sweetie patooties? Okay, Father God, I bless these two right now in Jesus' name. What you have brought together, nations, you brought together Asia and the Western world, God. Right, this is a marriage, this is a worldly marriage in Jesus' name. What God has brought together that no man, no circumstance, no situation, no health problem, nothing would ever separate, Lord Jesus. No financial issue in Jesus' name. These are your children.
Amen.
We declare it. We thank you, Father God, for what you've done. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. We bless you, Father God. We bless you. And I remove any shame or condemnation from any in the room who their spouse is not here and they may not come back. I renounce all shame and guilt and condemnation right now. God does not hate people that have gotten divorced. That is not our God. It's divorce that hurts his heart, not the people. Amen. So we bless those people that have made that decision already. We bless you in Jesus' name that you would still live in your fullness and you have resurrection life. And so does that spouse in Jesus' name. But Lord, we claim marriages right now. I just stand in that agreement. Anyone in this room who's made covenant, Father God, and I'm going to speak this. This is the last testimony I'll share. A month ago, we were in the south of Thailand. We got called there by Tiger Woods. This is really funny. But Tiger Woods was mentioned in a preaching, and our staff is Thai. And she's like, Tiger Woods? And she said, and this is what they said, if you want to see something different from God, you've got to change your swing. And it was like, Tiger Woods. And he's like Tiger Woods. And so she immediately grabbed hold of this thing. And what's the definition of insanity? Doing the exact same thing and expecting different results, right? So she got hold of that, wanting to see God move in a different way. She went to the south of Thailand by a word of the Lord. We walked into this church service, about 40, 50 people, just about half the size, walked into this church service, and we didn't know this because we had just come. This husband and wife had come, and they had been divorced, and we didn't know it. They sat fairly close to each other, but enough apart that they weren't having eye contact or anything. The whole message was about repentance and forgiveness and just living the fullness of God. And so they dealt with their own things. And then they told the two people that were ministering to them that they were married to each other in the past. And our two ministers of the gospel looked at each other and goes, do you guys want to forgive each other? And they both looked at each other and they go, yeah. Jesus brought together a marriage that had been divorced in a room after an hour and a half message. And it simply had to do with the fact that this woman said yes. I feel like there are people in this room that are called to share the gospel. I feel like they're called to share the gospel with like 40 or 50 people, maybe 10 people, maybe like 5 people. But there are people, there are ministers of the gospel in this room. I know it because I know some of you outside of this room. And you're called to do small home groups. You're called to restore marriages. And I just want to speak that over you as we go from this place. Father God, thank you that you're the minister of the gospel. You are the one that is in this room right now, Holy Spirit, that we flow through you, that we're your vessels. We thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against these families will prosper. The weapon might be formed, but it will not prosper. In Jesus' name, we thank you that we're your children. We thank you that today we mark, in fact, I'm going to speak this out. Today we mark the last chapter closed, and we declare the new chapter. What man has said, we call him a liar, and only what God has deemed. And we speak that over this group. We speak that over each one of us. Today, a new chapter is opening up, and I shut the last chapter closed. every label or diagnosis of man fall off and let God be true and man be a liar. Old things are passed away. From today, all things are new. And all things are from God. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. If there's anyone that wants to talk after the service, or if you have something special that you think you want some of us to lay hands, I know they have a prayer team here too. If we can just have the prayer team. Is there a few people that could just come forward on the prayer team? I would call you. You did my very first play when I was at this church that rocked me to the core. So yeah, there's a few more of you. So if you need prayer, I would really invite you to come forward. We'll be available to do that. But I'll let Pastor finish up.
We believe in the God of Amy, and we believe in Amy as a servant of the Lord. And she's authentic. She's the real deal. And so we are as a church, we are going to support her. And we also would encourage you, if you want to invest in good soil and a fruit-bearing ministry, she's out there on the front lines and people are getting saved, healed, delivered. You know, the full gospel is being preached. There's opportunity for you to partner with her. And again, there's some folders out there. If you'd like to join with her and her mission, if she does well, we do well. Amen. Because we're all in this together. It's all for Jesus. Amen. That we live and we serve. So if you need prayer for anything, we're going to dismiss in just a moment. We've got some gifts for the ladies, for moms here. Okay. On the way out. And there's also some flowers. Make sure you get your bouquet before you go out. But anybody that would like to remain behind for prayer, please come, because we believe that God can meet every need. Amen. There is nothing that the Lord cannot do. If you're not sure about your salvation, come down and we'll believe God. Amen for that. But thank you, everybody, for coming and being a part today. May the Lord bless each one of you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Let's pray for Amy, okay? Father, we just thank you for our sister. We ask you to bless her and keep her and strengthen her. And Lord, fill her with divine power and wisdom and strength as you're doing, God. We pray an increase, Lord, even in the measure of authority, Lord God, and effectiveness in ministry, for open doors and opportunity, for Lord, for every financial need to be met, hallelujah. And most importantly, for the peace of God to rule and reign in her heart and her mind night and day, for a hedge of protection around her, Lord. You'll protect her from harm. You'll deliver her from the evil one, Lord God, that you will just use her mightily, Lord God, in the days to come, that you'll bring partners her way, Lord, people that will stand with her and hold her hands up, Lord, when she feels weak. In the name of Jesus the Messiah, we commit her into your hands for your blessing, Lord God, and for your guidance for each day. In Jesus' name, amen.